Isn't it time to clear out the clutter? As you reclaim some space in your dressers, cabinets, and closets, make a little room in your heart, too. Here's how. What you have gently used or no longer need, you can give to St. Vincent de Paul. What you haven't used lately, our great local St. Vinny's thrift stores would be happy to convert into resources the Society of St. Vincent de Paul will use to help our neighbors in need. Donate your gently used clothing, shoes, accessories, furniture, books, small appliances, and more at a local St. Vincent de Paul store. The sale of these items at St. Vinny's stores in Stoughton, Verona, and Monroe helps fund assistance the Society provides to help local families and individuals most in need to make ends meet. In the area, St. Vincent de Paul stores also give away hundreds of thousands of dollars in clothing, furniture, and bedding each year from the store inventory directly to households struggling in poverty. So whether you shop at St. Vinny's, donate to St. Vinny's, or do both, you're helping our neighbors in need.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and other great local sponsors like St. Vincent de Paul, the Axley Law Firm, S&R Remodeling, and AMS. Joining us now, Mary Batari from the Center for Media and Democracy. Mary, well, once again, we have hacking, and this time it's, well, it's another person. I guess if you go by Citizens United, the Bradley Foundation was hacked.
Yes, that appears to be true.
So do you feel nervous about, I mean, both the Journal Sentinel or any other organization, yourself, culling through all this stuff that was hacked? What's your feeling about that?
Well, I think my feeling about it is that most journalists look at the stuff, and if it's boring, it's boring. And if it's interesting, it's interesting.
Oh, this stuff is interesting.
Why is it interesting? Because it has important impacts on our state and, in fact, in this instance, on our country. And these are impacts that the public should probably be made aware of. The Bradley Foundation's wealth comes from the public. They were, Allen Bradley Company was a huge contractor for the federal government. It boomed in World War One. It boomed in World War Two. The Bradley Foundation is a tax-subsidized institution. It's almost as if we give them a taxpayer's grant every year, a cash grant to operate, and we want to know if they're operating in a way that a charitable institution should be. When we give away these tax grants, we anticipate we're going to get some bang for our buck. We're going to support the Red Cross. We're going to support the Boys and Girls Club, you know, those kinds of things, and everybody's going to benefit. And that's not what we found when we took a look at these documents.
Explain what the Bradley Foundation is. The two Bradley brothers, I mean, normally the name Bradley is not synonymous with, you know, something people grew up with in Milwaukee as being something bad. It was this big plant on the near south side that had a four-sided, still has a four-sided clock, even though they don't own it anymore. Jane Pettit, the daughter of one of the founders of it, of course, you know, paid for the money for the Bradley Center. So people didn't grow up with Bradley being a dirty word. What happened?
Well, that's a really good point. It's a beautiful building. We all love that building. And the Allen Bradley factory and the Allen Bradley company was a big, a big Milwaukee company that many people have positive associations with. But Harry and Lind Bradley were super conservative owners, and particularly Harry. He was John Bircher way back when.
Way back.
He'd bring in the, you know, Birch Society founders to come talk to his workers. That must have been an interesting meeting. I would like to have been there for that. Because, you know, Allen Bradley was also represented by UE, of course, and United Electrical, and I'm sure they had very different perspective on
right. On
the world at the time. But when the company, when the brothers died, the foundation, which they had started in the 40s to be sort of a charitable foundation to help people in Milwaukee, the foundation was sold to Rockwell, and the company was sold to Rockwell International. The foundation grew enormously in size, I think to $260 million at that time. Today it's a $900 million institution. It spends about $40 million to $50 million a year on grants. It's a really big institution, and for the last few decades, it's been run by really, really nationally significant Republican apparatchiks. And that is the problem with the documents we've been looking at.
So in other words, they're not living up to the way that they're chartered. And by the way, what number are they chartered as? I always get all those numbers mixed up, Mary.
A 501c3 private foundation.
And you don't think they're living up to what they are listed as?
The 501c3s are not supposed to be engaging in political activity. They're tax exempt. 501c3 private foundations are even under stricter restrictions. None, zero, zip. So when you see, for instance, what we reported on first, which is a dedicated stream of funding dedicated to dismantling unions nationwide in order to, what Bradley says, defund the left, but really to kneecap the Democrats, I mean, that is a highly politicized stream of funding. And Bradley grantees talk about it in highly political fashion. They say things like, hey, did you see what happened in Michigan and Wisconsin? If you knock off the unions, the state swings Republican in a presidential election. And here in Wisconsin, for the first time since 1984, you know. So this is a very highly political agenda, and it deserves some public scrutiny.
Who are some of their recipients?
Well, the Bradley Foundation boasts about its Wisconsin network. And the recipients in the Wisconsin network, you know, but you might be surprised what categories they fall into. So, for instance, they talk about receptive leadership. Well, those would be the American Legislative Exchange Council politicians who run our state. They also talk about dynamic leadership, and those are folks that they out in the state that they think are really amazing, like Rick Essenberg, who runs the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Bradley has poured money into his institution the last few years trying to create a regional litigation center. So once those ALEC politicians pass those ALEC bills, there's Essenberg standing by to help defend them in court. And they also really like that Essenberg was out there battling on the John Doe front and helping Scott Walker with that. They also fund sort of attack dog media. So that's Wisconsin Watchdog, we all know. Wrote 380 articles about the John Doe and many other positive things about the Republican agenda in the state day after day, week after week. They also have an organization they fund called Media Trackers, and they fund that institution not under media, but they fund it under Oppo Research, which I didn't even know, that was a little bit of a revelation.
That doesn't seem all that charitable.
It doesn't seem all that charitable. It sounds like something a political party would be doing, Oppo Research. And Media Tracker, sure enough, they funded a video project to chase candidates around the state and film them. That's an activity that's done. Tracking is an activity done by political parties. It's not done by 501c3 charitable organizations funded by a charity. And they say they're going to do that in a bipartisan fashion, but when we looked back at that year to see what Media Trackers had done in the state here, well, they had only done attempted attacks on Democrats in the state. What a shocker. They also fund the MacIver Institute here. Now, that most people think of the MacIver Institute as sort of a think tank, but bizarrely, they funded MacIver Institute for opposition research, again, on mapping the Wisconsin left, and telling us about all those groups and institutions on the Wisconsin left. Now, I checked their website, and I looked around. I couldn't see anywhere that information was public. So it's secret opposition research on the Wisconsin left. I mean, we did manage to spring Bradley's enemies list, and I'm a Center for Media and Democracy is proud to be on their enemies list, but there was very limited
information. They have an enemies list?
You didn't see their enemies
list? No.
Oh, yeah. It's in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it's in our article as well. And it's 16 groups. Some are national. Only two are in Wisconsin. And we are one of the groups listed for Wisconsin. The other is One Wisconsin Now, Scott Ross.
Well, you should be very proud, huh?
Well, thank you. We were sort of proud to see us there.
Mary, let me just insert Mary Batari from Center for Media and Democracy with us. Slysoffice.com. We're talking about the Journal Sentinel kind of got this all kicked off with the story. And one of the pieces that was revealed in this is that they want to take this national. In other words, Wisconsin was sort of their guinea pig, wasn't it?
It was. This Wisconsin model has been so effective here, they want to take it national. And I was just on the phone just now with a reporter in Colorado who said, wait, they're bringing it here? Wait a minute. They're like, tell us more about that Wisconsin infrastructure. So,
well, of course, Colorado has been attacked in the past with corporate politics. The whole taxpayer Bill of Rights movement was a disaster in Colorado.
Well, that's right. And more importantly, it's an important swing state. And so it makes sense that a highly politicized organization like the Bradley Foundation is thinking of investing there and other states. So we talked a little bit about the Wisconsin Network. Now, what did the Wisconsin Network do? Well, we see, you know, we've seen the results of this with Act 10 here in Wisconsin, with cookie-cutter bills to lower wages on prevailing wage, with cookie-cutter bills to promote school privatization and all this kind of thing. And one of the stranger revelations that we found was that Bradley is working with Rick Berman, who's like this sort of notorious, you know, master of the dark arts of disinformation, PR guru in Washington, to train Bradley-funded institutions on opposition research and crisis communications, so that if they come under scrutiny by citizen campaigners, like what happened with ALEC, and all these groups got together across the nation and revealed these ALEC model bills and campaigned to get corporations to cut ties with ALEC and convinced over 100 corporations to cut ties with ALEC, then...
Sounds like that's a reaction to you and your organization.
We were involved with that. And so they go on and on and on about what a problem this was for ALEC, and they were caught flat-footed, and that people really need to have on-hand opposition research in case anyone ever gets, you know, unruly in their state. And they fund opposition research from state to state. They fund another project on mapping the left out in North Carolina. So it's a very interesting charitable foundation. It's not your Boys and Girls Club.
So who oversees this? What could be done about holding them accountable and taking this away from them?
Well, you know, I think that the people impacted, especially the groups impacted by this type of agenda, should take a look at that. We spoke to an expert who used to head up the charitable institutions wing of the Internal Revenue Service, and he just told us flat out that, you know, defunding unions, I kept running these different formulas by him. I said, well, what about defunding unions in order to defund the left? Well, what about neutralizing teachers' unions? Well, what about, I was just using all these quotes mm-hmm. from the documents, and I was like, is neutralizing teachers' unions a charitable purpose under the tax code? And he kept going, no, no, no. He says, you know, there's no interpretation of the tax code that shows that this very highly politicized activity is really appropriate.
So can you file a complaint with the IRS?
You could, but, you know, they've become under a lot of pressure in recent years. I'm not entirely sure how far that would go. There may be other options, I think.
This seems pretty flagrant, though.
Take a look.
This seems pretty flagrant, though.
It is flagrant, and you would hope that the IRS would take a close look at it and take some action. But ever since Lois Lerner was dragged before Congress, people over there have been a little gun-shy.
So they're planning to take this national, and what they've done in Wisconsin. I'm looking at their anti-union activity, and I printed it out. It's the piece you have in here is 22 pages of activity going after different unions. That's incredible.
It's and the tactics are incredible, and the tactics are spreading in part because Bradley is spreading them. So, for instance, they're attacking, they're in Washington State at a think tank, funding a think tank called the Freedom Foundation. Now, this think tank isn't sitting around doing a lot of thinking or even hiring people to think. They're hiring people to go door to door, to knock on the doors of union members and tell them to get out of their union, and in order to defund the union. And, you know, a consistent pattern you see from state to state is that these, the Bradley Foundation, which is run by a bunch of Republicans and has been for 3 years, and not just any Republicans, very powerful national Republicans. You know, Grebe was the RNC general counsel. He was the top lawyer for the Republican Party.
Yeah, I really, until Trump came along, right?
Exactly.
And then Joyce before him, and now Rick Graber, who I remember way back being chairman of the Republican Party and being a big wig for Robert Caston when he was senator.
Well, your memory goes back further than mine. I had to look all that up. But yes, yet another Republican. And they, of course, are funding a Republican in Washington State to do this. Why? Why does the Little Bradley Foundation in Wisconsin want to destroy unions in Washington State, which you think would be a difficult thing to do, you know? Because the documents say Washington State is a net exporter of union dues. Now, that concept never crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind.
A net exporter of union dues. Wow.
So apparently unions might send union dollars to another state to help them organize or help them engage in their activities. And so, so
because Washington is controlled by Democrats.
It's controlled by Democrats, and it has some pretty big, powerful unions for Boeing and all these other factories related to manufacturing. So it was an interesting target for them to pick, but that's why they picked it.
Well, when they picked Wisconsin, whoever would have guessed they would have been able to take down the birthplace of the Public Employee Union, right?
That's right.
They go for target-rich environments.
I think that's very true. And so they don't just stick to the red states. They are looking at swing states. They are looking at blue states. They're looking at making a big impact. They're also assessing California for investments.
Mary Batari with us, Center for Media and Democracy. We'll take a break. It's sliceoffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
We're back at sliceoffice.com. Mary Batari with us from the Center for Media and Democracy. If people want to read all this, where do they go on the web?
They can go to exposedbycmd.org. As you said, we have some quite long articles. But they're a summation of many, many thousands of pages of documents. So we have an article on weaponized philanthropy, which is sort of the overview and what happened in Wisconsin. And we also have articles on the union-busting agenda and on the hiring of Rick Berman, and also a very sort of ugly anti-LGBT agenda as well.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How does that fit into this whole effort to, in other words, make corporations and rich Republicans richer? How does this anti-gay stuff fit into it? And who's this crazy professor from Texas?
So it's another very interesting stream of funding. It looks like a sort of dedicated stream of funding to promoting natural families. Now, if you're promoting natural families, you're not too happy with unnatural families.
I happen to know families where both spouses are same sex, and their families seem pretty natural to me.
Well, they seem like natural families. Basically, anyone the Bradley Foundation doesn't like, you know. So, you know, one parent, two parents, you know. They have promoted this concept of natural families or traditional families. They have funded institutions that want to roll back the sexual revolution. They have promoted these institutions both domestically and internationally. They fund the World Congress of Families, which is a very controversial organization that promotes a very anti-LGBT agenda in Eastern European countries. It's resulted in a lot of prejudice and even attacks against gays and lesbians. And then they're bankrolling this sociologist at the University of Texas to, as soon as there's a Supreme Court case or any case up somewhere involving this issue, he'll produce some study, reaching some strange conclusions. So, for instance, when marriage equality was before the U.S. Supreme Court, he produced a big study showing that children, gays and lesbians, were going to gay and lesbian families were going to do more poorly than other children in a whole variety of risk standards. But his study was so riddled with flaws, most importantly how he identified who was a gay and lesbian family, that it was attacked by all these sort of sociological associations and medical societies. I mean, more amicus briefs were filed against that than, you know, practically any other study.
Did I read this professor actually had a theory that liberal women liked having more sex?
It wasn't in the study, but he said a lot of crazy things.
Well,
like
I read this. He that is a theory of his. Liberal women like having more sex.
I tweeted that at Stephanie Miller, just in case she could use the material.
Liberals just want to have fun.
So
he continued to offer his own sociology, conservative, and somewhat bizarre opinions, often with a thin layer of pseudo scientific gloss. Wow. Liberal women and very liberal women want to have much more sex than other women. So in other words, this is a guy who's using his position at the University of Texas to smear people
and to promote his own fantasies or whatever it is he's up to. I'm not sure a lot of liberal women would think that was a smear. However, anyhow, it's a guy with a lot of weird opinions, and that heterosexual men will go off the rails if they're exposed to pornography and all sorts of things. So that's another stream of funding coming out of the Bradley Foundation. And, of course, there's another stream of funding regarding one of their signature issues, which is school choice.
Well, I want to add that. That was going to be my next question, was the whole Mackinac Center for Public Policy and Betsy DeVos. Kind of explain how this all comes into play.
So, you know, the Bradley Foundation has long promoted school vouchers, which they call school choice. It's a way of privatizing the public education system. They also pushed and financed some of the lawsuits that made school vouchers available to religious schools. And they want to take this agenda national. They want every state to allow school vouchers for religious schools, taxpayer money for religious and private schools. And we're not talking about just for poor students. We're talking about everybody. Go anywhere they want, to do anything they want. And so you end up often subsidizing very wealthy kids or wealthy families that were sending kids to private school anyways. And so they have worked hand-in-hand with all those groups, the DeVos groups. They have co-funded projects together. They have done litigation together. They have, you know, they've pursued a common agenda together. The Mackinac Center in Michigan is another one of these union-busting institutions who, you know, is credited for bringing right to work to Michigan, and they credit themselves for bringing right to work
and defeating the proposition that would have given Michigan workers the right in the Constitution to collectively bargain.
Right, and so you know, they talk about these in very, you know, they boast about this stuff a lot, and you'd think that would draw some IRS scrutiny too. You're not actually supposed to be pushing legislation as a think tank. You're not actually supposed to be lobbying in the hallways of your state capital. So Mackinac's activities along those lines have raised eyebrows many, many times.
Well, they've given them almost $1,400,000 since 1993. How much money does the Bradley Foundation have?
They have a lot of money, $900 million, and they give out about $400 million a year. And they're big funders of a lot of these national they're big funders of the national think tanks like AEI and Heritage and those kinds of institutions, but they're also really big funders of the state think tanks. And we added up all the state think tanks that they fund, which some people refer to as stink tanks, I have to say. And it was something like $116 million stream of funding.
How much money did you say they have?
$900 million.
Okay, and they gave away $400 million last year? Is that what
they
you
gave
said?
Away $40 to $50
million. Oh,
$40
to $50
year.
Million. Okay. Okay. How do they generate money?
How do they generate money?
Yeah.
Through their investments. So they have investments in stocks, bonds, and assets, those kinds of things.
So what has their reaction been to the stories that you've written and the stories in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel?
Well, we called them, and they did not return our calls. I'm
they
sorry
didn't?
Say, so.
Well, I guess you're on their enemy list.
I didn't want to bring that up. I was going to be really nice. I was really nice on the messages I left them. Hi, Mr. Graber. It's Mary Batari. Could you please give me a call back? And I didn't get a call back. But to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they have said, you know, this is all fine because we only give money to C3 organizations. You know, we only give money to proper charitable organizations. Well, let me just tell you, some of their proper charitable organizations are engaged in really interesting conduct, like American Majority, which trains political candidates. All the ones I can count on my hands, fingers, and toes are Republicans. So they're, you know, it's an institution that trains political candidates to run for public office, and it thinks it's bipartisan for some reason, but I am not finding it, not seeing it. And there's a case, you know, on point on this issue. The tax court decided many decades ago that the Republican Party could not set up an institution to train candidates because that would be for the private benefit of the Republican Party.
Is the money they make on their investments taxed?
I do not know the answer to that.
This is quite the racket. That is amazing. Well, what do people do? You know, I mean, you expose them the way you and others have exposed Alec. What can we kind of do to limit their damage?
Well, you know, we're right here in the state of Wisconsin, and they have new leadership under Rick Graber. And, you know, people should literally tell them that they do not want their charitable foundations engaging in this kind of behavior. I mean, I think people should call them. I think people should write them. I think people should write letters to the editor. I think this is not a charitable organization representing the interests of the state of Wisconsin. And if people have, you know, there's a big agenda here. They're doing a lot of things. If people are think that that's a problem, write them a letter about it. You know, perhaps you can convince Graber to go a different way.
You know, it's interesting because their headquarters, a couple blocks from Lake Michigan, they have funded groups opposing climate regulation. They certainly have supported Donald Trump in his efforts to deregulate environmental procedures, including the EPA. Donald Trump is proposing a 100% cut to the restoration of the Great Lakes. So these people are not only taking workers' rights away and hurting the Wisconsin economy, but they're damaging one of our most precious assets.
That's true, and they have this funny video that says that together we can keep our lakes blue and our states red. And both of those things are bizarre. They don't work on keeping our lakes blue. And they shouldn't be working on keeping our states red.
Well, I was just going to say that's right out of the mouth of Diane Hendricks, isn't it?
Could be. She's on the board.
Oh, she is.
She is on the board of the Bradley Foundation.
Is there anyone else prominent on their board?
Art Pope from North Carolina, who's sort of like the Diane Hendricks of North Carolina, is on the board.
Uh-huh.
Very, very prominent person who has spent a lot of his own personal wealth to create this type of infrastructure in North Carolina. Terry Constantine, who is a big member of Club for Growth nationally, is on the board, and he is from Colorado. So a lot of that helps explain a lot of the investments in Colorado. So they have, you know, very prominent Republican apparatchiks on their board, and that is what they're up to.
All right. Give your website address so people can go and read about this.
The website is exposed.com. at cmd.org, or exposedbycmd.org, I'm so sorry. And you can follow our news on at Alec Exposed and at CMD Exposed.
Mary Batari from the Center for Media and Democracy, thanks for coming to SliesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliesOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.